This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Going to continue talking to you about living the more life. And I guess I should again warn you this morning that I'm not talking about fluff when I talk about being blessed of God. I don't want you to misunderstand and to jump ahead and judge. I want you to understand that it is God's plan that His people be blessed. It is God's will that we believe His word and obey Him. Last week we read John 14 and we looked at verse 11. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, living in me, who is doing His work. Believe me, I jumped ahead. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do what? Even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father. We spoke a little bit about that last week. We ran over to Psalm 92 and we read about the righteous flourishing. Like what? Palm tree. And growing like what kind of a tree? Cedar in Lebanon. We spoke of the fact that the palm tree grows in the desert, in drought, and it's able to produce fruit unto old age. Between the years 30 years old to 100 years old, the date palm can bear 300 pounds of dates in a drought situation year after year. 70 years of harvest. The palm tree grows from the sand. You drive through southern Israel and you look at those areas that once were areas that had so much salt that nothing would grow. You drive through there today, you will see groves of trees. These date palms, groves of date palms growing. You drive through those arid areas in Gedi. You go through those areas after a little rain. And the hillsides are covered with blooming flowers. It is absolutely gorgeous, even in the desert areas where there's a little rain. So we took note last week that the righteous are not going to wither when the conditions are dry. We are not to reflect the condition of the world around us. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we are not to be simply thermometers that can tell what is going on. It's one, we need to know what's going on, but we need to have more of God and more of God than we have of the world, so that we are able to bring the wisdom of God and apply it to the condition that is in our world. And so the righteous flourish in the dry deserts and also in the groves of the cedars in Lebanon, in the winter, in the freeze, still green, still flourishing in both places. In all seasons, the palm and the cedar are both beautiful and green. Under all circumstances, they continue to be fruitful. This morning we are going to go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, I'm going to be reading from the NIV translation this morning. And we are going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that I believe is important in the kingdom of God, to simply understand that we are not to put our lives on park simply because we're in a season in our nation that is being shaken. We have wickedness all over the place. We have all kinds of bills and situations. We need to actively stand against the enemy. But our faith must be steadfast in these days. You've lived in Florida for any time. You either may have storm windows, which I kind of like the idea of, because as a Christian, you can watch the storm without being concerned. Right? Or else you can have storm shutters. And if you have storm shutters, you might not be able to see anything that's going on. You just hear a lot of noise. But in either case, when the storm comes through, it's sort of like, if you think back to Passover, they were told to stay inside the house while the death angel was passing by. Not let anyone go outside. The blood is on the doorpost. Eat all of the lamb and be ready to move forward with God. Let me say that again. When the storm is coming through, and maybe even the death angel, in the Passover, and Israel's to remember this every year. I believe we need to remember this. We're coming upon the resurrection season, which for us is an everyday reality. But God wanted Israel to remember that death, which is the work of sin, which is the work of the devil, the death angel had no authority where the blood was applied. So when the blood is applied, there was protection for the people of God. God protected them. And so for us, though there's a storm going on in our nation, and listen, do not be shocked by the storm in the nation. The Word of God tells us to prepare in the end times that evil is going to be rampant. And that even in the religious world, there will be a falling away. But it also says that there will be a latter rain. Latter rain. Brothers, if you could turn the volume down a little, it's echoing a little up here. Be a latter rain. And the latter rain, you have to look at the former rain to understand the latter rain. And if you look at the former rain, you will understand that it was about the power of God being released, not just upon, but into and through the church. So the church was able to minister the plans and purposes of heaven on the earth. They were able to manifest the will and purposes of God in their lives. In Genesis chapter 26, beginning with verse 1, now there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. Now you've read this before. There was a famine in the land, and it clarifies that this is besides the previous famine that was in Abraham's time. Remember in Abraham's time, there was a famine, and where did they end up going? Egypt. They went to Egypt, right? So now there was a famine besides the previous famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. That's what his daddy. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while. And listen, I will be with you. I will be with you and will what? Bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will what? Confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands. Okay, the blessing of God is a promise. It's promised. It's promised to Isaac. It was also promised to Daddy, wasn't it? Abraham. And so, the promise is to both the Father and the Son, God's promise is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. But I want you to recognize that was not the end of the promise. Because if the promise had just been to them, then it would have perhaps not still be for us. But the promise, very clearly, is not a promise just for Abraham, or for Isaac, or for Jacob. But look at the promise. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them these lands. And listen, this is the second part. God's blessing is given to Abraham. It's given to Isaac as well. But then it continues, and through your offspring, your family, your children. Have you had children, or you know somebody who does, or you were one once? Through your offspring, all nations. Look at this blessing. Blessing is for you, Isaac. God says, I'm going to bless you. But Isaac, I want you to know, just as the blessing came through your father to you, I am going to make you and your descendants a blessing. And that blessing will flow through you, through your future generations, and it will continue until all nations on the earth will be blessed. Now that's the size of God's blessing. God's not running out of ability. He certainly is not running out of opportunity to move. I love that, Joyce, when you say, I'm standing on the Word of God. This is what God says for this baby that's in the womb. And many of you are here today because somebody prayed and believed God for you the same exact way. This is the promise of God, that God would be blessing Isaac, and then God would bless to him and through him for the future generation. Now there's a famine in the land. God's talking to Isaac during a time of famine. And when I look at this, and I look at this condition, and I realize that in our nation today, we are in a similar situation. You look to the king, you look to the president, you look to the parties, you look at what's going on around us, and there is a lot of wickedness that is really tooting its own horn as if it owns the stage and it owns the planet and it is in control of what's going on. But I believe God is saying something today to the people of God. If we can have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to pursue God, I believe we will hear the Father saying the same kinds of things to us today. Just as I blessed Abraham, just as I blessed Isaac, just as I promised them that in the middle, Isaac, in the middle of a drought, I don't want you to run from it. I don't want you to try to get away from it. I want you to stay where you are and bring my blessing right to the address where you live. I believe that's what God's saying to me. Larry, I believe God is saying, Jonathan, this is not a time for you to say, oh me, and plan to have a big pity party with the saints. I don't believe God is saying that to his church today. I believe that God is saying to us that regardless of the drought in the land, God is still God. And I don't know about you, but I belong to him. I'm God's property. My house belongs to him. My cars belong to him. My children belong to him. My wife belongs to him. Everything I have belongs to him. I'm his. I am God's property. And one thing I've learned is that God knows how to take care of his property. I may not be the best at taking care of mine, but God knows how to take care of his property. And the word says this, you are not your own, you have been bought with a price. It's not the blood of bulls and goats on the door, it is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I am God's property. And if I get a little happy about it, and a little excited, and a little loud, and it stirs up somebody, and they're a little uncomfortable, then I invite you to come and enjoy the party with God in his Holy Spirit. Now let me remind you of something. Isaac was wealthy already. He was wealthy already. Because if you read in Genesis chapter 24, verses 34 through 36, you're going to find that God greatly blessed Abraham. How do you know that? Abraham was greatly blessed. I mean, he had camels and cattle, and he had silver, he had gold. He was greatly blessed of God. His family was blessed. He's in covenant with God. He's honoring God. He's greatly blessed of God. And then in verse 5 of chapter 25, Genesis 25:5, it says that Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. He started out blessed. I did too. I believe it's a blessing just to have been born in this country. I believe it's a blessing to be in a nation that still has on its money, still has in its pledge, still has in at least some of its history books, that this nation was founded by people, even if they weren't all godly, they were almost all God-fearing people. In God we trust. I'm blessed to be in this nation. Been pointing that out to with the men on Saturday morning. We've been talking about that fact where Paul, on an occasion where he's been arrested and they're getting ready to flog him, he pulled out that little fact that he is a Roman citizen. He uses his citizenship and the laws that support him in his defense, and he calls to account the recklessness of local leaders and says, "Do you have the right? Do you have the right and authority to flog a Roman citizen without hearing his case?" He pulled the national identity card and said, "I'm blessed to be a Roman citizen," and the man who is listening is quaking in his boots when he realizes, "I have my citizenship by purchase, not by birth." Paul said, "I have mine as a birthright." The blessing. Blessing. Abraham left tremendous blessings to his son Isaac. I was blessed to have prayer being offered up over me when I was still in my mama's womb. I was blessed to be raised in a home where the Word of God was read every night. I was blessed to be in a home where from first grade I was put into a Christian school. I was in chapel every day, 5 days a week. Then in addition to that, in church, two times at the church, Sunday, Wednesday night. And then in addition to that, Friday night on the street corner, Sunday afternoon at the Belglade jail, Sunday evening in a Jamaican camp, sometimes two Jamaican camps, and then often during the week, an additional week in service. I consider that a blessing. If you know the difference between right and wrong, and God gave you an opportunity to be exposed to righteousness and the gospel of Jesus Christ, then all of us have been enriched by the goodness of God. Isaac was blessed. He started out blessed. Some people would say he had an unfair advantage. Almost sounds like something going on in political circles today. A lot of people want you to think because of color, we have unfair advantage. I'm not going to apologize for the fact that because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, I have an unfair advantage over the devil. And that is the plan of God, to bring us out of wickedness and destruction and bring us into the kingdom of God. And you will walk in authority and in victory, and you will have an unfair advantage because you will not have to experience all of the destruction and disaster that many people live their whole life experiencing, because God brings us out. If you want to call that an unfair advantage, I'm going to call it a kingdom benefit. And it's not exclusive. It is available to anyone who desires to receive it, but you must make a choice to surrender in order to get into the kingdom of God. Many would have said, well, of course, Isaac, he started out, you know, he was fed on a, raised on a golden spoon, silver spoon. I suppose he was. But the reason he was raised in that kind of a home was because his daddy had followed God. My sons have access to some things in a greater way even than I did. Because my father came to the Lord a little later in life, and Dad would talk about the longer he walked with Jesus, the more favor God showed in his life because he walked closer to Him. And my boys, they are given favor in many ways because of what God has done in our lives. You're righteous this morning. You're a godly person. God set you free of death, hell, and the devil. You have kingdom benefits of health and provision and favor. If you're a child of God this morning, then God has chosen you to be a part of His kingdom of those who are blessed. Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Some people have a problem with an Abraham being so wealthy. They have a problem with Abraham having so much favor. They have a problem with Abraham winning his battles. When the enemy came in, God gave him victory. He was winning. Some people have a problem with you being a winner in Christ. They have a problem with the favor that's on your life. That's why we need to invite them to come to Jesus, because they should be jealous of our walk and our life with God because of the goodness of God in our lives. Should be jealous of us.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thank you.
before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah, your fault, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Every day at 10 a.m. and p.m. on 89.9 FM, WCNO, Palm City.
Come on,
come on,
come on.
Praise him
if you love the him, give him praise.
Come on, give him the praise. Everybody,
praise him.
Stand up.
Stand up and give him praise.
Come on and give him the praise. Stand up and do something. Just cause they sit down. Wave hands in the air and let your feet kind of move around. You don't have to be a good preacher. You don't need to have a real good voice. God has been good to you, so get up and make a joyful noise. Let me hear you say, God has been good to me.
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 Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey,
stand up and give him praise.
Come on.
You to the cross. Lord, take me to the cross. Take me where the Lamb of God shed his blood for me. Take me to the cross. Lord, take me to the cross. Take me to the place where Jesus set the captives free. At the cross we find our Savior, and at the cross we find our Lord. At the cross we find forgiveness and love. At the cross we find your mercy, and at the cross we find your love. So take us to the cross again to show us who you are. Take me to the cross, Lord, take me to the cross. Take me where the Son of God took away my sins. Take me to the cross, Lord, take me to the cross, the place where Jesus died for me, that I might live for him. 'Cause at the cross we find our Savior, and at the cross we find our Lord. At the cross we find forgiveness and life. At the cross we find your mercy, and at the cross we find your love. So take us to the cross again to show us who you are. At the cross we find our Lord, and at the cross we find forgiveness and love. At the cross we find your mercy, and at the cross we find your love. So take us to the cross again to show us who you are. So take us to the cross again to show us who you are. Show us who you are. Who you are.
I'm not afraid. God.